In the history of humanity, there have been many games, but only one can claim the title of the greatest of all. That game is hockey! Welcome to the ultimate celebration of that game, the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am your host, John Madden, and every week we will bring you the definitive word on this most sacred, most awesome, most electric of all human endeavors. Now, it's face-off time! Welcome once again to the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am John Madden, and this is the finest hockey podcast on earth. Devils and Flyers are about to drop the puck. It is Tuesday. We are deep in the playoffs. Nashville, bye-bye. You're eliminated. Western Conference Final is going to be Phoenix versus LA. The East is yet to be decided. Coming up next, we'll talk about working the boards on our aspect of the game. Once again, our guest is Jody Yvette, hockey neophyte. And we'll talk coming up games. We'll be back.
How many times has this happened to you?
Aw, man, this is getting really close, man. If only we had something to just take it over the top.
Damn, why don't we have a fucking tambourine, man? Damn! Damn!
Well, never again. Finally, we can put the demanding crowds to rest. There is now a store that will take care of every tambourine need. People, please. We urge mellowness. Do not rush the store. Finally, after years of unanswered demand, the tambourine bandwagon has hit town and it's going to be huge. From the piccolo tambourine all the way down to the mighty and huge bass tambourine. We have them all. Worry no more. Don't believe us? It all seemed too good to be true? Listen to the people, man.
Amazing. A whole store? Just tambourines?
Well, you know, graduations and birthdays are so hard sometimes. And I think this'll get me through at least a couple of years. Thank God I come from a small family.
Man, that shit was deep, man. I got all my girls' tambourines. I roll around now, it sounds like Santa Claus coming to town.
I tell you, the reception we've been getting here in town has been stupendous. So come on down while the tambourines are fresh and hot and shake your way to a whole new attitude. We're located at the corner of 9th and Pleasant in beautiful Boulder, Colorado, but we ship to anywhere in the world. So no matter where you are, when you hear this interweb commercial, you may contact us and we can get you a new tambourine just as fast as FedEx will let us. Remember my name and Google me up. Tambourine Larry. Tambourine Larry. Tambourine Larry!
Did you see that? I saw that. I don't know if you saw it, but I know I saw it. Well, it's time now for the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast Recap of the Week. Let's find out what happened. And what happened? All right, we are back. Time for a bit of a recap. Insane, amazing. The Coyotes' dogged determination defeats the Nashville Kitty Cats. And we find out that dog people are indeed smarter than cat people and are tougher hockey players, too. So take that, Nashville. Back to Trash Town with you. You're done. You losers. You lost. You got nothing. No cup, no nothing. However, Phoenix, you're going to the conference for the first time ever. And LA hasn't been there since 1993, 92. Tell you what, they had Gretzky playing with them the last time they were there. They didn't win then, though. They didn't win. They've never been. Neither of these teams have ever been to the Cup. As for how the LA Kings handled the St. Louis Blues, what I thought to be the best team in the West, breathtaking, high-powered offense actually does come out on top versus only scoring on the power play and playing defense all the time. Dustin Brown, first of all, for the Kings, he's the man. He basically carried this team on their back. On his back, him and Jonathan Quick. I mean, it's just like in New Jersey, there's Zach Parise and Martin Brodeur. Well, in L.A., there's Dustin Brown and Jonathan Quick. That's not to minimize the contributions by the other guys. The plus-minus ratings on all of the L.A. forwards are ridiculous. I think they only have one guy with a minus rating. In short, the L.A. Kings are far more surprising and have far more talent than they first appear to. Likewise is true with the Devils, who are about to face off against the Flyers for a possible eliminating game. I'm flabbergasted at how Philadelphia's offense, by contrast to LA, has completely collapsed. New Jersey is outworking them, especially on the boards. Both them and Phoenix have both been loving the boards. And even when Nashville added a defense to their rush, it just wasn't enough. It wasn't sufficient to get through Phoenix's dogged determination. It's astounding. Ken Hitchcock came in with a system that basically reduced all their scoring to power plays. And when the LA penalty kill got a hold of that system, they tore it up. They shut it down, and then it was just, once you had even things out, back to old-time 5-on-5, LA totally just handled them, man. Swept them 4-0. Boom, you're gone. See you later, St. Louis. You stomped the crap out of San Jose, and then you got the crap stomped out of you by Los Angeles. What's up with that? A California Cup this year? It could happen. I'm not sure how the Kings would stack up against Washington, New York, New Jersey, or Philly. I'd say they'd stack up well to Philly. I'd say they'd stack up well to New Jersey. I don't know how they could. I don't know if they could take the Rangers. I gotta say it. Rangers are putting in insane amounts of minutes. They've already played like 2 extra games in their overtime time. The way the series stands right now, LA and Phoenix have won their series. They're going to the Western Conference in the East. Washington has got to win 2 games to beat the Rangers. Rangers need 1. And New Jersey, they win 1, or Philadelphia wins the next 3 in a row. I'm not sure which is more likely to happen, but I'd say smart money says New Jersey, especially since that's where Gary Bettman lives, and we know he wants to maximize his East Coast market ratings numbers because he's a scummy gangster, so he's probably pushing for a Rangers-Devils Conference Cup. And Gary usually gets his way, just like he wanted the Kings Phoenix to be the Western Conference to maximize those Southwest Corridor ratings and make the deal to sell the Coyotes for the first time in, what, 4 years since they've had an owner? Make that deal a little sweeter. Oh, Batman, you are so transparent, you sleazy bastard. Anyways, that's about all for the recap. We got 2 games in the two series still going in the East. But not for long. One could end tonight, one could end tomorrow. We'll be back.
Trans-Canada bus lines.
Trans-Canada bus lines.
Canada is a fantastically large and spacious country. It is wide and very far from Yukon Territories to Nova Scotia. But what really ties it all together is the smooth road of the Queen's Highway 401 and the silky smooth ride on them that you get when you ride Trans-Canada bus lines.
Mais c'est qui attache vraiment tout cela et ensemble la route lisse de la route nationale de la Reine 401. Et du trajet lisse soyeux sera que vous arrivez quand vous montez Trans-Canada Bus Line.
We at Trans-Canada Bus Lines are immensely proud of our solid, practical, and sensible service helping travelers of all nations discover the wonders of the great multicultural north, the way the pioneers and the aboriginal peoples did on the ground, but with all the comforts that a sensible person needs, and our fares cannot be beat.
Nous à Trans-Canada Bus Lines sommes énormément fiers de notre service solide, pratique et raisonnable. Les voyageurs et danses de toutes les nations découvrant les merveilles du grand node multiculturel. De les fargons, les pioneers et les jeunes aborigines ont fait sur la terre.
So when you think Canadian travel, think Trans-Canada Bus Lines. Welcome aboard!
Ainsi quoi vous pensez le voyage canadien? Pensez Trans-Canada Bus Lines.
Accueillez à bord. This message brought to you by Trans-Canada Bus Lines and the Kamloops Metropolitan Area Tourism Board.
Ce message est porté à vous par Trans-Canada Bus Lines et le conseiller de tourisme de région métropolitaine Kamloops.
Trans-Canada Bus Lines. Trans-Canada Bus Line.
Hockey is a game of far more than just teams, players, and scores and stats. It is a game of elegance, beauty, toughness, persistence, grit, and character. Each week, we will examine a different aspect of the game. And we are back. It's time to talk about an aspect of the game. That aspect today is working the boards. Phoenix and New Jersey, two of the last standing, have been outstanding in working the boards. New Jersey lives on the boards, as does Phoenix, and they absolutely flabbergasted Nashville's more spread out arrangement by just keeping them on the outside. They could hardly get a center shot, and they were always up in Shea Weber's face because the boards, of course, lead to the points where Klein and Weber and those guys do so much to generate shots. Well, not so much when you're actually having to defend the point instead of just worrying about shots because everybody's clustered in the crease or up the slot. New Jersey has just plain out muscled Philadelphia. Philadelphia cannot get the wide open, ranging river hockey, free flowing cycling going that they like to get going. They can't work their little chaos circle magic when they're just stuck digging for pucks in the corner, digging for pucks on the side. Dig. New Jersey seems entirely comfortable with dump and run. And really, doesn't chip and chase much. Not much of that. The Flyers have been trying it, but they just get snarled up, and they just keep hitting the pucks to the outside. It's frustrating to watch, even. It's not quite as boring as a 1-3-1 trap style, but it's pretty dull. That being said, it's also got them 3-1. And it's not that their offense has been shabby. It's come through just enough and just at the right times, just like the Rangers, which I think the Rangers on the whole have been better than Washington on the boards. Really, to get into the boards, it's a question. It's two questions. One, who gets there first and gets the good body position? And two, how many guys are you willing to throw at that side? How much weight are you willing to put in to getting that puck off the boards and back into the center to where you can shoot, or out of the corner and back to the point where you can put something in on net? And if you're stuck in Gretzky's office, do you have the kind of finesse player who can thread a pass out to the center from behind the net, a la Todd Bertuzzi? Not many people do. That being said, Philadelphia does, but they haven't. They haven't been doing that. They have the talent to do that, for sure. Their forwards can pass in those – they can operate in those close quarters, but New Jersey has been much, much better at preventing that sort of thing from happening. They've closed off the edges of the net much better and bottled up that back of the net area, I think, much better than Philadelphia has, which – is probably why they're able to defend their net. And, you know, Brodeur has not really been working that hard so far. Philadelphia is not putting tons and tons and tons and tons of shots on net. They're not putting them under consistent pressure. They add up to an average amount per game, but they're not. It's spread out. There's no pressure. There's no consistent pressure. Devils will put it into the corner, dig, tie everybody out, clear it, and then everybody has to go for a change. Totally screws the Flyers' momentum. Rangers, Capitals, not as much board work. Both teams tend to be a little bit more open. They tend to be a little bit more reactionary. I think their offense rolls back out of they're more into counterattacking than organized attacking. The Kings, not much time on the boards at all, really. They played it pretty wide open, and St. Louis had all the chances in the world to stop them, but they just couldn't. And Phoenix just straight out-muscled Nashville, and they did it on the boards, just living there, just checking and checking and checking. Most teams like to stay away from the boards. They're dangerous. They injure guys. But that being said, he who dares wins, so you can play a wide-open game or you can play a tight game on the boards. We got some teams this round that are and some that aren't. And right now, the teams that are willing to get dirty on the boards are winning. So something to think about there. Player tight and pinch, 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 boys. All right, we'll be right back with our guest.
Every day, kids all over the land run into a special problem. Just for kids. Stuff just gets less fresh. You don't want stuff that's not fresh, do you?
Well, I'm Andy the Stay Fresh Caribou, and I'm here to tell you kids, remember to stay fresh.
Whether you have to use soap or water, disinfectant or plastic wrap, or even a live enzyme cleaner designed especially for disposing of human blood.
Remember to stay fresh.
Parents don't understand always, but you can get your mom or dad to help you. Just go to the andycaribou.org website and you'll learn everything you need.
So this is Andy the Stay Fresh Caribou telling you kids, remember to stay fresh.
And the next time your stuff isn't fresh, you'll know what to do. And knowing is part of the solution, brought to you by Andy the Stay Fresh Caribou. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, kids, and remember to stay fresh.
This PSA brought to you by AndyCaribou.org and the Mad Council. Well, folks, it's time again for our guest here on Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. This week, it's somebody who knows something about something and is going to tell us all about that thing that they know something about. All right, welcome back to Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I'm John Madden, and with me again is my third time appearing guest, Jody Avat, hockey neophyte. Say hello, Jody.
Hello. Glad to be here.
What have you seen? What do you know? Do you know anything more than you did last time?
Well, I don't know. I think a little bit. Watched a classic game last night. Oh, my goodness. This was an experience I would highly recommend to anybody interested in the game of hockey. It was a game from the 1963 Stanley Cup Championship between the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings. And it's just really interesting to see how different the game is today and how much it has evolved and changed. And I'm listening to you talking about working the boards, and that was one of the things I noticed in this 1963 game, is that they weren't really clambering on the boards very much, digging around for the puck.
Much more open, spread out game back then, much faster, not faster as far as skating speed, but faster as far as nimble, like dance-like maneuvering.
Well, they have half as much gear on too, which I think makes them a bit more agile, or made them a bit more agile. But yeah, I didn't understand why they weren't checking each other at the boards. It was something I was so used to seeing that it surprised me when I didn't see it in that game.
Not a lot of hitting, and it seems like back in the day they were totally able to bring the stick up and check, protect themselves from a front. You couldn't cross-check from the back, as far as I know, but you could come up and just blast a guy with your stick front on, and, he'd go down. You couldn't stab him with it, but you could protect yourself on a check. So most of the hits are going to be stand-up back in the day.
Well, and I guess without very much protection on, like literally no padding really, to check somebody meant that you were probably going to hurt yourself too.
Yeah,
so that's kind of a deterrent.
Yep, very different game back then, especially when you don't have helmets either. You don't even have a helmet. Anybody can get your head from any angle. there's no safe direction to have your head other than keeping an eye on the puck and the other players. You got to keep your head up.
Oh, and then it just blew my mind that the way the goalies operated back then, they weren't in a squatting position at all, trying to do the
butterfly.
Butterfly. They were standing straight up, and one had like a simple mask on, the other didn't. The Red Wings guy had a mask on.
Just a faceplate back in those days. Oh, and the other guy was what was his name? Bauer, Johnny Bauer. Yeah. Got hit right in the, just under the chin. Didn't even move him. The puck hit him and bounced up in the air, and he just caught it and started tossing it in the air, catching it like it was flipping a coin. Just didn't even flinch, nothing. Just bam, shot to the, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. These guys are like special breed. I never saw anybody, just no helmet or nothing. Not even a face mask. Nothing.
Nope, just standing up, wham, waiting for that puck.
All right, yeah. Cool. It hit me. That's good.
Right? It's better than going in the net,
I guess. It means it's not in the net. Yeah, I can get hit me all day, boys.
But I do especially like to pay attention to the goalies on teams. And I've been super impressed by Jonathan Quick. He is definitely living up to that great name. Perfect name for, you know, a hockey goalie, I think.
He has been a brick wall in L.A. He is definitely carrying that team. Him and Dustin Brown, really. It's been a, you know, you always wonder, you know, here comes Luongo. You know, here comes Jimmy Howard. Here comes Corey Crawford. You know, gone. And then it's like somebody like, oh, here comes Mike Smith. Who? You know, okay, here comes Marty Brodeur. All right, we see that one coming. Here comes Ilya Brizgalov. Okay, that's okay. Elliot and Halak. You know, Halak got injured, so Elliot did most of the work for St. Louis.
Now, is it Brodeur that has the best record?
Brodeur is the best, statistically speaking, goalie of all time. Most wins, most shutouts. So he is the Gretzky to Sawchuk, the way Gretzky was to Howe. From the old days to the new days. What I would call the helmet versus the non-helmet era. And Jonathan Quick has been ridiculous. And Henrik Lundqvist is why the Rangers are still alive. Because the Capitals definitely have had the offense. If it wasn't for Henrik Lundqvist, they wouldn't even be in the damn playoffs. He probably won them 20 of their games over the regular season. They called him King Henrik on the CBC broadcast I caught the other day.
They have just been so tight, the Capitals and Rangers. It just seems like it's anybody's series at this point.
It is. I really believe that. They went 7 games with Boston to get here, and they're not going to give up easy. They're not rolling over, that's for sure. They played 3 overtimes. They played the 18th longest game in NHL history not too long ago. I watched the entire thing. Matter of fact, I didn't get to watch Nashville lose to Phoenix that night because that game started after the Caps-Rangers and ended before the Caps-Rangers. And so I didn't even get to see one bit. It was just all Caps-Rangers all night long. And man, oh man, it is the second and third lines and the fourth lines that really separate the cup-worthy teams from the non-cup-worthy teams. If you don't have a four-line team, you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. You've got to have that crazy depth.
Well, you're certainly not going to make it through 3 overtimes, was it, that they ended up doing? 3?
Yeah, they did. And Gabrick ended up pulling the win. But
Three overtimes, you know, you got to think whoever actually makes the winning goal, it's sort of a coin toss at that point. You know, who's going to stop the madness?
Yeah, it's like, please, somebody just win. Please. I mean, they're skating in molasses, you know, they barely can move their legs anymore. The shifts are like 4 seconds, like on, off. it's ridiculous. The bench gets so short. It's just nuts. That being said, you know, I don't think that series is over yet. And I don't mean that just, empirically, it's not over yet. I just think we're looking at a 7-game series. I really think so.
Well, I know you were talking about Bettman and his...
The fix.
Yeah, fix.
He is a New Yorker, so the fix is definitely not in for Washington or Philly.
And I don't know where you stand on the Claude Giroux thing. But with him, with him being out,
I think that sort of is
like a nail in the coffin for the Flyers, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like ironic that what is, you know, I don't think it was a suspendable hit, frankly. I don't think it was that bad. I think there was a lot of acting on the part of Zubras. I think the guy was like, I think that was some acting. I think he had his head down. I think he was partially responsible for the hit. I think Bettman's doing a fix. He's taking out what Laviolette called the best player in the world. He's taking him out. Guarantee the Devils get a win. That's the name of the game. Devils Rangers. That's what he wants. So,
of course, Philly is the type of team that will take something like that and it'll inspire them. But still, they're down 3-1.
I hope they take that shit personally. I hope they take that for what it is, an attack by a league that lets Shea Weber bash Zetterberg's head against the glass until his helmet cracks. But, you know, the Devils, we can suspend Giroux. Let's suspend Giroux. Let's Crosby start 3 fights, doesn't touch him. But then, of course, you know, Giroux does this half-assed hit, and he's suspended. It's just blatant inconsistency, and it reveals the fix and the favoritism for what it is, which is a damn shame for the game. You know, you, even with a fix, a team is still going to have to fight hard enough to win the game. But having that fix there is demoralizing, inappropriate, corrupt, and a disgrace to the fucking game. And, yeah. You know, I'm sorry to say it, but the league has always been very involved and meddling and letting players get protection and other players get nothing. All the way back to Howe, Richard, I mean, all the way to the French-Canadian discrimination. There's a long history of it. This is not new. This is just an aspect of the game. It's just a part of the reality
right.
of the NHL, La Ligue Canadienne.
And I'm sure for the players,
it's just never
they're
been
not
worse
so
than
concerned.
Under Batman's regime, that's all.
They're not so concerned with the politics and, you know, getting bitter about it. They're concerned about playing the best game that they can play and,
absolutely.
You know, moving on.
Absolutely. I mean, they're very focused on their jobs, and they're very proud of what they do, and they should be. They're phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the back of everybody's head, the unspoken realities, you know, Batman's a fixer. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, all right, the Flyers, Devils, 13:24 remaining in the first, scoreless. We'll be back.
Are you on the go? Running from class to class? Starting to get run down? Well, I have just the thing to open your eyes. The new energy food sensation, Monster Nuts! These big balls of nuts have the energy potential and cosmonautic strength of almonds, peanuts, pistachios, and peanuts! And all in two fat balls! So get to the campus bookstore and get some of these nuts! And as a special introductory offer, pick up two balls and a third comes free! Monster Nuts! Monster Nuts! Monster Nuts! Monster Nuts! Available wherever students are hungry and wherever you need more nuts! Another fine product from the people at Wishamco Products. Check us out online at www.monsternutsinyourmouth.com. Monster Nuts!
Monster Nuts!
Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast is unparalleled in its depth and in its insights into the teams of the NHL. This is Team Profile.
And we are back. It is time for the Team Profile. We're talking about the LA Kings, and the two names at the top of the roster are Dustin Brown, number 23, their scoring dynamo, and Jonathan Quick, number 32, from Milford, Connecticut. Jonathan Quick is potentially the best goalie of the whole playoffs so far. The guy is ridiculous. They wiped the floor with the Canucks. The Kings themselves are just on fire. And a good part of that is their penalty kill. They have a dynamite penalty kill. They're very aggressive, but sensible. They do not rattle easily. They have excellent positional discipline. Elsewhere on the roster, we have Jeff Carter. Came over from Philadelphia via Columbus, where he was not happy. He has been a dynamic contributor. Kyle Clifford, not as visible, but nonetheless out there putting in work. Colin Fraser, again, these are names that you're just not that familiar with. You're not used to the names that are not the big stars. Of course, we all know number 11, Angie Kopitar, who is ridiculously talented, a very, very dangerous forward, and especially dangerous one-on-one against a goalie. He scored a one-on-one goal, diving, crazy, amazing. And then there's the other half of the restored Philadelphia line, the transplanted line, but he's out injured, and that's Simon Gagné. Big loss for them not having him, but it hasn't really stopped him. Other guys, Dwight King, Trevor Lewis, other forwards have picked up the slack. Dustin Penner has been amazing. Mike Richards, amazing. Also ex-Flyer, Brad Richardson, Jarrett Stoll, got a game winner. Justin Williams, big contributor. Cobourg, Ontario, I love your town, Justin. Marie Dressler's house is there, and that's fantastic. Kevin Westgarth, everybody's been stepping up. Parse is on injured reserve, but Jordan Nolan, big surprise there. He's been a tough, body-putting-on kind of guy. Andre Lokshinov, not as visible. But nonetheless, the forwards are really, I think, the backbone of the LA team. It is not that their defense is weak. It's just that their forwards, known and unknown, are putting in crazy work. They are thriving in board battles. They are thriving on puck battles. Their penalty kill is top-notch. By staying in position, they never get pulled out. They do a floating box and not a diamond, which is tougher. But I guess maybe by having to use a little bit more focus, it's just doing them good. The defense is led basically by Drew Doughty, number 8. He's backed up by Davis Drewiski, Matt Green, Alec Martinez, Willie Mitchell, Rob Skidarian, and Slava Voynov. Skidarian, Voynov, very offensive. Willie Mitchell, very tough. Big hitter. Gets in trouble sometimes, but good. And a good Michigan man, Matt Green from Grand Ledge. Also, you know, these guys, if you don't have a good D, you don't have a good penalty kill. So are they famous? No. But are they buying into a system? Yes. There's no question there. Their coach comes from one of the greatest hockey families in the history of the game, the Sutters. He's not to be underestimated. I did not see the Kings coming this hard, this well, frankly. They barely made the playoffs at all. They flew low on the radar all season. And then their first round was against Vancouver, who was, you know, last year's Campbell Conference champion. And even with the Sedins back, they just got clobbered. Luongo had his nervous breakdown. They replaced him with Schneider, and L.A. just kept pounding away. Now, what was not immediately apparent was how the hell they beat Vancouver. Because Vancouver was playing so badly, it was hard even then to see the strengths of L.A. On the second series, much more visible. Much, much more visible. Their penalty kill, ridiculous. And really, they just have a smoking offense. They are a very offensively minded team. They delight in charging the zone. They don't mind jumping up from the blue line to get involved. They cycle tight. It seems like they cycle left side heavy, but that could be shift to shift. And the bottom line is that this is a true dark horse team. The last time they did this well was in 1993. And they didn't win a Stanley Cup then, but they certainly have a chance of winning one this year. They certainly have a chance. But first, they have to get through Phoenix and the prime line, Wizard Whitney and his desert dogs. So we'll see how that works out next round. All right, team profile, Los Angeles Kings. Watch the penalty kill. Watch the offense. Solid guys, hard hitting. We'll be right back.
The following message is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Did you know millions of Americans with low income can get help buying food? Introducing SNAP. It helps you eat right when money's tight.
Excuse me? Did you say SNAP?
Yes. SNAP is the new name for the federal food stamp program. Lots of people with low income qualify for SNAP, but don't know it. If you qualify, you'll get a card you can use to buy all sorts of food, including fruits and vegetables. It works like a bank card when you check it.
A card? Like one you swipe and goes beep?
Yes, that's right. SNAP offers help to all kinds of people.
So wait, can I be eligible if I have a job?
Yes, you can if your income is low.
But I have a car.
No problem, you may still qualify.
But I own my own house. So can I still qualify?
Yes, you might. To learn more about SNAP, call 1-800.
Hold on, let me get my pen.
Okay. Call 1-800-221-5689. That's 1-800-221-5689. SNAP, putting healthy food within reach.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
Coming up next week, Magic Number 9 Hockey Podcast is going to examine what will be and what will be.
And we are back. Games coming up. Well, we have to complete the East. Flyers, Devils are playing right now. What could be the elimination of Philadelphia is occurring as we speak. Rangers, Capitals, who you pick? Jody.
Man, it's really a toss-up. I don't know. You know, I guess at this point, I got to go with the Capitals. I like the way they look. Now they've won the last couple of games, right? So they've got a bit of a streak going. It's really a toss-up between the Capitals and the Rangers, but I don't know. I guess if I had to put money down, I would pick the Caps.
Philadelphia just scored a goal. 1-0 Philly, 12:33.
All right.
First.
Go, Philly.
Go, Flyers. Go. Beat that fix. Screw you, Batman.
Or at least get us a couple more games anyway.
Well, it won't. Yeah, well. So you're going with the Caps.
Yeah.
Versus the Rangers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think you can flip a coin on this one. The Rangers have been more lucky, but they've got more of a fix in. What do you expect? Hey, that's New York. Hey, that's New York. We fucking corrupt and fix everything we touch. Fucking animals. forget about it. Yeah. Monstrous fucking abomination. All right. Devils Flyers. Can the Flyers win three straight?
I think Philly's going to take this game. I think that they're going to be
motivated. But can they win the
motivated.
Other? Can they
no.
win three straight?
I don't think so.
So they're gone. So Devils are going to win.
The stats are against them.
So you're going Devils, Caps in the East.
Yep.
All right. Western Conference. What do you think? L.A. versus Phoenix.
Oh, L.A. all the way.
I'm with that. I think L.A.'s going to win. I think L.A.'s going to the Stanley Cup.
I think they'll win the cup, too.
The fix points to it. If it comes down to L.A. versus the Rangers, I'm rooting Kings because I shit on New York. If it comes down to Devils, Kings, I might just have to root for the Devils.
Yeah.
I might just have to. Good old Kev Smith has got a lot of pull. If it comes down to Phoenix Rangers, well, God, that's like a horrible situation. Jesus, I don't want to root for either of those bastards. I guess I'll root Phoenix. At least I got friends in Phoenix. Well, I got friends in New York, too, but I don't know. I lived in New York, so I definitely will never root for them. Frankly, I think if Phoenix beats L.A., the Rangers will beat them. Because I just don't see Phoenix. I don't see Phoenix with a cup. I just don't. Wizard Whitney in the prime line notwithstanding, I just don't see it. Phoenix Devils, I'll take the Devils. Phoenix Rangers, I'll take the Rangers. Kings Rangers, I'll take the Kings. Kings Devils, I'll take the Devils. So, Devils Rangers, who do you think?
Devils Rangers. Well, shoot, I would have to say the Devils. I don't really have a lot of confidence in the Rangers. Maybe that's
part
wrong,
of their secret.
Yeah, could be.
Well, the Devils do have Marek Zdlicky, the guy I've been screaming about for 3 years that Detroit should get. Immediately, of course, he shows up in the Devils and they go deep into the playoffs. Why don't you listen to me, Kenny Holland? We should have had Zdlicky and Johnson. We'd be set. Our blue line would be on lockdown. What were you thinking? Spend the freaking money.
Yeah. Now they're faced with a
Michigan cheap. What are you taking back bottles to pay for players?
Rebuilding.
What the hell? You had $6.5 million. You shell out what? $1 million on Quincy? What the fuck were you thinking?
The worst.
Ah.
Every time I'd hear his name, I would just cringe because it was always just a terrible mistake. Jeez. A bad pass. It just was never ending.
Not even. I didn't even hit anybody hard. I just did a stupid penalty. Look, hey, I'm Kyle Quincy. I'm from the Avalanche. Duh. Go back. God, so fucking frustrating. There's nobody really I want to cherry pick off of the Rangers. They can all eat shit and die. Washington, I gotta say, I would love to have Mike Green. He would be nice. He would be nice to have on the blue line. Mike Knuble, we can always take him back. Devils, give me Zdlicky. I'll take Zdlicky. That'd be fine. That'd be about right. And Kimmo Timonen from Philadelphia, he'd be good. He'd be good on the blue. And Jaromir Jagr wouldn't suck. You know, take Holmstrom's place in front of the net. I don't know. Well, those are the games coming up. this has been the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. We got to get back to watching hockey because New Jersey just tied it. 9:22 remaining.
Oh, my
in the first.
Goodness.
Jersey 1, Philly 1.
We got a game to watch.
All right. We'll see you later. Face off.
I have lived in New York City, Oakland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Houston, Kalamazoo, and San Francisco. I have explored 42 of 50 states. I used to be a pastry chef, and I take baked goods very, very seriously. I can say without reservation that Sweetwater's Donut Mill makes the best donuts in the USA. 29 styles of cake donut, 26 styles of yeast donut, 27 kinds of fancies, 12 kinds of muffin, 55 total flavors to work with, and they make them all huge. There are three locations, but the Stadium Drive store is the flagship. Opened in 1983, they have won a devoted following. The store is bare bones, two counters, four tables, and a drive-thru window. It is also open 24 hours a day, so it is the key social nexus point on the west side of Kalamazoo. Late at night, of course, cops and loads of international students from nearby Western Michigan University. 2 to 3 a.m. and the after-bar crowd stumbles through from across the street at Wayside West Sports Bar Dance Club. Early weekday mornings, it's the must-stop shop for workers and tradesmen. And weekend mornings, it's church folks and families. I have even carried a box home on my lap on an airliner, and never did I receive more interest or more compliments when I showed off my prized dozen doughy delights. Sweetwater's Donut Mill. No matter when, no matter how, you have to have these donuts before you die. 3333 Stadium Drive, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Oh, and did I mention? They ship anywhere.
Coming up next on the WGDA Network. Stay tuned for Bigfoot, Nessie, and My Old Aunt Tessie. This week, hilarity ensues as Bigfoot accidentally knocks out Aunt Tessie, causing Nessie to have to take her place at a PTA meeting in disguise.